Today's Issues continues on AFR.
It is Wednesday, July 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2023. Alex McFarland here. So honored that you're listening to the American Family Radio Network. And I am very honored to be sitting in for Tim Wildman on this edition of Today's Issues. We're so glad you're listening. And with me to talk about news of the world and life as it is Steve Jordahl. Steve, it's great to be with you, my dear brother.
Always good to be with you, Alex. And we got, you and I and Chris, we got an email from Tim and Ed. They told me, they said, the news of the day is so complicated and distressing that we can't handle it. We're out. So, Alex, you and Steve and Chris, you guys got to deal with all this news because it's too complicated and depressing. So here we are.
Imagine I have a Jack Nicholson voice. You can't handle the news.
Exactly. They are at a leadership summit, and we miss them, but they will be back eventually.
Yes.
And for those of you who are tuning in online, something is usually said about the way I'm dressed. I have one of my Madagascar shirts on. Those of you who have been listening a while.
Forgive my ignorance. What, Steve, is a Madagascar shirt?
Well, you may know that I spent some of my youth, in the African island country of Madagascar as a missionary kid.
I did not know that.
I did.
And you and I have a friendship that goes back 19 years, and yet I did not know that about you.
Yeah, grew up a little bit in Africa, and I was shopping at a men's warehouse. I think it was Nashville at one point, and I came across these shirts that kind of looked nice. I looked, and they're made in Madagascar.
Okay.
So I got a couple of them, and I'm wearing one of them today.
Well, there you go. You know, spirit of full disclosure, you and I, we do go way back. We worked together at Focus on the Family.
Yes,
and
we did.
How long have you been with the news department at AFA?
I came January 1, 2016. So the whole year leading up to the 2016 election, I was here. But yeah, January 1, 2016.
Time flies.
It's hard to believe. I was at Family News in Focus, at Focus on the Family, for 10 years. And then I did a couple things between that job and this one. But I'm coming up on 10 years here, which seems just strikingly surprising to me.
But, wow. Yeah. Well, you do a great work, and I know people around. As I travel, Steve, you know, people, they always want to know about Bert Harper, my co-host on Exploring the Word.
Yeah.
And they want to know about Tim and Walker and Wesley. And they ask about you, and they say they appreciate, you know, One News Now and all that they do. By the way, folks, let me mention also The Stand, the AFA Journal, which is called The Stand. And, of course, there's the website, which has so many blog articles. Steve, is it thestand.org?
.net, I think, isn't it?
Or .net.
Our esteemed producer is checking it out right now.
If you go to AFA.net, as in American Family Association, that is the portal for all things AFA. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason I urge people to, you know, go to the website, get the app, listen online, tell your friends, inspires and strengthens and encourages people is good content. And you can certainly depend on AFA, AFR to give you truth for God and country. And
the
we
stand
need that, don't Steve.
Net. The stand.net. Yes. We lost. We're getting a little tenuous connection there with you, Alex. So if we lose you, I will.
Okay.
I will continue on.
Well, yes. You and I earlier were talking about it's summertime. Everybody loves the summer.
Yeah.
A lot of families in years past have planned a trek to either Walt Disney World in Florida or Disneyland out here in Anaheim.
Yep, they either go to the one in Florida or the one in L.A. Disney World in L.A. and Disneyland in Disney World in Florida, Disneyland in L.A. Well, Alex, I don't know if you got to this part yet because you cut out a little bit there, but they are a little dismayed because there's almost nobody at Disney World. It's the middle of summer. Kids are out. Families are on vacation. It's July, for goodness sakes. And hardly anybody is at Disneyland or Disney World. And I had this story yesterday. I don't think we got to it. But One of the financial institutions has downgraded Disney stock because of the economy and because of all the stuff that's going on politically with this organization. They're really taking it on the chin. Go woke, go broke, as they say.
Has the Magic Kingdom lost some of its magic?
That might have happened a while back.
But you know, Steve, I think part of it too is the economy, though.
Yeah, it is expensive, especially if you're bringing your family. Because not only do you have to pay the $100-something just to get in the park, but you can't go without getting the ears and the food and everything. And I read somebody a while back that said it was costing a family of four. They got out of the park for somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,500 a day.
Oh, my word. And let me just say this, too. There's something to be said for a family outing that's simple. Just going to the beach or having a cookout or going camping. Steve, I read a parental psychology article. Now, granted, this was 2 years ago. But do you know what children, I mean, we overstimulate children very often, and it's more bigger, louder, brighter, faster. Do you know what? One of the top 10 things that children wanted to do with their parents was look for a four-leaf clover.
Really?
Yes. There was a list of all these things. And, you know, the whiz-bang ADD experience of, you know, an amusement park. I know there's a place for that, but look, it's expensive. And here's my point. I do think some of the downgrading of Disney stock and the low attendance is probably due to a pushback against wokeness. But I also think it's part of Bidenomics.
There you go.
I mean,
yeah, he's so
proud
of that.
Everywhere we turn, things cost more, the basics of life. And so, hey, the brave new world of the socialist Democrats, maybe it's undermining some of their most cherished institutions.
You never know. You don't know. By the way, when I introduced myself, Alex, I forgot to say this. When I'm introducing myself, I say, I'm Steve Jordahl, and my pronouns are Your Majesty and Your Highness. So that's what I would prefer. Everybody talk to me and call me. They have to, because it's the pronouns I have chosen. I heard
and
you
I'm
guys
duty
talking,
bound to do it.
Yeah, and I heard you guys talking earlier that you wanted to talk about pronouns here in this half hour.
Yeah. You know, we live in the world. There used to be a world of humility and just courtesy to others, but now we demand our pronouns. So Mr. Jordahl, you are now Your Majesty,
thank
Steve
you.
Jordahl.
Yes, thank you. I demand it. And I heard have a couple, too.
Well, okay, folks, there are pronouns, and then there are what are called neo-pronouns. Now, just hang with me. I know we've long been beaten over the head with he and she now being they and them. By the way, I was in Macy's. Let me give people an alert. I went in a Macy's store during June, and they had a big poster, and I'm not trying to make fun, but have you ever seen Jeff Dunham, the ventriloquist? And he's got a puppet called Peanut.
Yes.
Have you ever seen? It's this weird kind of amorphous puppet. So in the Macy's store throughout the month of June was a poster of a guy. It was clearly a man, and he had a little tuft of green hair on the top of his otherwise bald scalp, and he was wearing a woman's camisole. And, I mean, he looked like Jeff Dunham's ventriloquist puppet. He really did. But it said, they, them. They, T-H-E-Y, / them. We support LGBTQ Pride Trans Month. Anyway, it was this character, a person. But, Steve, we're living in a time where it's not he or she, Mr. or Mrs. or Miss, but it's they and them. And so now neo-pronouns, here's what they're saying. There was an article on CNN about you and I, Steve, we are duty-bound to acknowledge someone's designation of choice. Now, in schools, American public schools, there's kitten or kitten self. doll or doll self, vampire or vamp self. So, I mean, however we self-perceive, like, what if I were maybe 6'2" George Clooney look-alike Alex McFarland? Would that work for me?
Well, if that's how you identify, who's gonna tell you differently? I mean,
but I'm 5'7" and I don't look like George Clooney.
Well, reality is malleable, you know.
Reality is pretty brutal.
We're so going after gravity next, by the way.
Okay.
We're gonna try that. See if that we can suspend that for a bit.
Yeah. Well, so would the left acknowledge? What if I said my preferred neo pronoun is God only made two genders, male and female, says. So people have to acknowledge me by saying, God only made two genders, male and female, says Alex McFarland. I wonder if they would say that.
Their logic, they would be duty-bound to. And by the way, I pointed out something also, because we were talking about how some of the liberal churches have kind of gone off the rails, and now they're wanting more inclusive language. Who was the the Episcopal Church you were talking about that wanted to ditch the Lord's Prayer?
Church of England.
Yeah,
I was reading, Steve. I was prepping for the program today, and the Church of England had a meeting just a few days ago. Now, first of all, get this: the Anglican Church, the Church of England. And I know there are different, and they're here in America, many conservative, very biblical Anglican groups. But the Church of England was debating, should they, quote, abandon Christianity? Why? Well, among other reasons, because of non-inclusive language about God. Because for centuries now, clergy and laity and Scripture and, let's say Jesus, pretty authoritative voice there, have said God is Father. And that is non-inclusive. And why can't God be mother or God be they, them? And so in the spirit of diversity and inclusion, Church of England, not to mention the blessing of same-sex unions and gay clergy, but just because the church, Christianity views gender as binary, male and female. Church of England is considering maybe they ought to cut loose from Christianity because Christianity is non-inclusive. What do you say, Steve?
Well, kudos to the Church of England. Congratulations and well done for having the integrity to say out loud what has been the truth for many years now, that they have abandoned Christianity. And the Church of England, at some point you got to admit it. We're not Christian anymore because we don't ascribe to the tenets of Christianity. If they're finally admitting it, I commend them on their honesty. But as far as inclusiveness, we were talking about the pronoun game that's being played here. If someone comes to me and says, I want to refer to Jesus as she or her, or God as she or her, I'm going to just tell them, well, God has chosen his pronouns. They're he, him, and you can. They're all over the Bible. That's his chosen pronouns. That's what you have to refer to him as.
Amen. Repeat, this is vital. See, brilliant, brilliant observation. Repeat this, please. This is important because remember, the left is dogmatic. You must address someone by their chosen pronouns. And God has chosen his pronouns, he, Father, he. So since God identifies in masculine terms, wouldn't the left be duty-bound to acknowledge God's self-designation?
Yes, they are, according to their logic. So I'm going to insist on that the next time someone tells me, well, we need to expand the make a more inclusive God. Which, by the way, Alex, I think you would agree, and you're the Bible scholar, so you tell me, just the fact, because God refers to himself as he and him, doesn't mean that he thinks any less of she's and hers, or that he is somehow not as much of a God to women as he is to men. Mm. I mean, he's not human to begin with, so he is, the male reference to God is his choice of analogy, right?
Well, you know, in Genesis 1:27, Steve, it says that God created male and female in the image of God. Humans were created, and most
he
theologians
created them.
Yes, God, he created us. Most, and by the way, the view is called complementarianism. I worked for James Dobson, so did you. There was a group that organized it probably 30 years ago called the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. And there were some brilliant, brilliant scholars that were a part of this, in addition to some popular speakers like Kay Arthur. But basically, complementarianism says, look, males and females are equal, equal in worth, value, humanity, personhood, dignity, but we're different. We're different in our human physiology, different in our, you know, biology. Hey, here's a bombshell, Steve. Men and women are different. And I don't mean...
Vive la différence.
Yes. By the way, let me throw something out here, and then I want to give a little time for some headlines. But look, 35 years in the ministry, 35 years in the ministry, 24 of those in some capacity or other, I've been on the staff of a church, 11 of those not, but always writing, speaking, interviewing people. In fact, a few years ago, I did a video series for American Family Studios, the 21 toughest questions your kids will ask about God. And in the context of that, sat down face to face with 300 families that had children 5 to 12 years old. It dawned on me, Steve, I've counseled hundreds of families. Now, I've met kids that had behavioral issues, kids that were afraid of the dark, kids that were disrespectful. We've counseled a lot of parents and children. And do you know, I've never, in all of my years of ministry and counseling, I've never met a child or adolescent that wanted to change their gender.
No.
Now, I've little girls wish they could play on the football team with little boys and be rambunctious. I understand that. You'll and I'm not being gratuitous, folks, but you'll never meet a 6 or 7 year old boy that says, gee, I want to have a menstrual cycle and become a female. It's not going to happen. It's just not. You'll never meet a pre-adolescent little girl that says, someday I would love to impregnate a woman. Now, why am I saying this? I'm not trying to be gratuitous. Steve, this is not about biology or reality. It's about ideology. It's about socialism. It's about a new world order. But it's about getting God out of the equation and saying Almighty God has no say in our life, not even over our gender.
Yeah, it's hubris. It's arrogance.
Yes.
It's the original sin, saying I am God. I can be like God. This Satan did this in heaven. I want to ascend to the throne of the Most High. Well, that's what we're doing. We're saying we are our own gods, and we can set the terms of even reality and biology, which just is stunning to me that people take that halfway serious.
Our schools have been co-opted by the alphabet mafia, the LGBTQ trans. What about higher education? What about colleges, Steve? What's the public perception of American higher education right now?
It's not good. It's going down. I have a Gallup poll here. It's actually buried in my stack. If you give me half a second, okay. Play the music, Alex.
Well, you know, colleges, I mean, 25 years ago, like when I was, you and I, when we went to college 25, 30 years ago, I mean, it was like liberalism. I remember in the 80s when I was in my undergrad program, Steve, my professors hated Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah. I do. I was in college at the same time, around Contra time and the Star Wars thing and everything.
But, you know, looking back, by the way, I remember my professors endlessly mocked Reagan and strategic SDI.
Yeah.
But look, this Iron Dome over Israel, which really is the Star Wars SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative, look, that saves Israel from annihilation on like a monthly basis, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, he was prescient. He was right, if not a couple decades early. I do have this poll you were kind of referencing. This is the Gallup poll that they released yesterday, and they found that 36% of Americans, at least this is the number for last month, 36% of Americans trust higher education. Back in 2015, that was 57%. So in, 8 years, it has dropped 21 points. And why? Have you seen what's going on college campuses these days?
It's insanity.
You have. I mean, you spend tons of time with college students, right?
I had a dad tearfully say to me, he said, I spent 4 years and more than $100,000 for NC State to disconvert my son. And so, you know, I've got to tell you, folks, one of the most sacred areas of stewardship is your child's education. You know, elementary, high school, and certainly college. Please don't pay a university hundreds of thousands of dollars to turn your child into something that's going to oppose God and country.
Yep. Hey, so, can we end on something a little kind of crazy and a little lighter, maybe?
Okay,
we were
sure.
Talking earlier about the hubris. Folks, I want you to be very careful telling your kids that they can achieve anything they want in life if they just put their mind to it. You hear that all the time. You can be anything you want to if you just put your mind to it. Well, that used to work.
Right.
But not so much anymore. I want you to hear, this is a dude that thinks he's a woman, and listen to what he says, cut 11.
Trans people get a lot of abuse online, and recently someone online said to me, they said, oh, you'll never be a real woman. Do you know why? Because you can't have a baby. You can't get pregnant. Yes, I can. I think I can. I have a lot of willpower. I have a lot of resolve. I have a lot of confidence. I think I can do anything I put my mind to. And right now, I'm putting my mind to having a baby. I don't even want one. I'm just doing it out of spite. So get used to it, conservatives. Get used to it, atheists. Get used to it, Jordan Peterson. This is the future that you fear. This is our world now.
I just you remember the movie Music Man where he the guy that
what was his name?
Professor Harold Hill, who taught his students to play via the think system. If you think hard enough, you'll be able to play. Well, at the end of that movie, all the kids could play their instruments because they thought hard enough. But that's not real life.
No, it isn't. You know, actually, I mean, that guy's voice creeps me out.
Kinda.
But he mentioned Jordan Peterson, the Canadian psychologist who's been pretty courageous in his statements of truth. Well, Steve, hey, we fight the good fight, we stand strong for truth, and we trust our Lord, don't we?
We do. We do.
Folks, this has been Today's Issues. Alex McFarland, so honored to be sitting in. Thanks to Chris Woodward, Brent Creeley, Steve Jordahl, the great news department at AFA. I'm going to be on again tomorrow. I'm very honored to do that. I'll also be back at 3 p.m. Central today for Exploring the Word with Bert Harper. God bless you. Be encouraged, folks. The truth wins in the end. God bless you.